Welcome to the Minority Report with your hosts, Isaiah, Terrence, and Damon. And now, over to you, Isaiah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 5, part 2 of the Minority Report. And guess what? Everyone's here this time. Terrence, what's up?
Welcome back.
How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm going to tell you right now, Terrence is going to kill me and Damon before the day is over. So if this is going to be the last episode, guys, I love you. Goodbye.
You make your stat actually on the air.
Live at Adepticon. Murder. All right. So we have a very special guest with us. The big rules God himself. The man who lays down the law. The man who tells you to get out if he doesn't like you. But we love him to death.
The war machine and whore's therapist.
That's a new one.
Then we'll call him the War Machine Player Whisperer.
I've not heard the therapist one before.
And let's not forget the Dark Legacy himself.
Right? All right, Travis. Welcome. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
First of all, I got to make the comment. You guys do realize you guys have the perfect Oreo cookie on that side of the table.
Gotcha. Guys, this is awesome. The worst setup I got laid into, but you know, I showed up late, so you know, I'll take the blame. I'll take it.
That's awesome.
Welcome, Travis. Thank you for taking the time to meet with us, talk with us.
No worries.
You got to understand, guys, like, we're literally probably about 30, 40 minutes away from Master starting. Travis got to start setting up tables, getting things ready. So we're going to be running through this as swiftly as we possibly can.
Oh, yes. Top four today. So we had Convergence, Circle, Signar. There was one. Grimkin.
Yes, for Masters.
For Masters, top four.
Champions was Convergence, Circle. Man. And guess what? Those three circle lists all play.
We, you know what?
Boulder 2.
Nope, they single listed
Iona. Whoa. Grail. Grail, okay? Grail
makes all day long. Iona all weekend long. So it'll be very interesting to see. Like, I'm predicting a circle victory for Champions. Like, it's kind of hard not to have a circle victory for Champions.
I'm rooting for Convergence. Go Watt.
Yeah. Watt's in both. And so we'll see how Watt does with 8 rounds today. Or not right yet. 4 rounds today.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll see if, like, just what happens in Masters, because that one's going to be weird. Like, with Grimkin and Signar in there, like, it's just going to be interesting.
With the center player, Zach, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the guy who beat me. He actually beat me bottom of 2 assassination against Rasheth. We'll talk about that game next episode. Pretty cool guy, great opponent. And then who else we have? We have Chris, Handsome Chris. Is that the Grimkin player?
Yes, Chris Sankox.
Yeah. And then who else? So Signar, Grimkin?
It's Chris Sankox, Zach Watson, Jason Watt, and Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Mark LeBlanc.
Mark LeBlanc, yep.
Oh, okay.
From Canada. So we've got 2 Canadians and 2 Americans. So it'll be pretty interesting.
Is Jason really American? I mean, that's an argument. Jason Watt. I don't even know if they got human.
Yeah. I mean, he is a robot. Convergence is like, he is the leader of all of Convergence.
And his paint schemes, yeah, he has to be a robot to paint that well. His paint job's so amazing.
It is.
But the thing about it is, the way he describes painting, it seems like you can do it in like 5 minutes.
I'm there's just some talent there that I can't keep up with.
No way. All right. So, Travis, we have you here. We have you locked in with the 3 crazy guys here on this.
Absolutely.
So we got a few questions for you. So as the big rules guy, what does that mean? What does it mean to be the inferno, the man who lays down?
It means getting questioned a lot with not necessarily random questions, but it's a lot of questions at a lot of random times during the day.
So random questions.
And it's all over the gamut. It's like, how's this work? I don't know how this works. And it's like, okay, I'll look in the book and then most likely give you an answer straight from the book. There's a number of times where it's like, yeah, I have no problem answering anyone's questions because it's not hard. It's just, hey, get a question at 2 a.m. Get a question at like XYZ time because it just occurs. I just get messaged.
At 2 a.m. Here's the question. God, we're playing this game over New Zealand. I need this question now.
I've actually had that happen. Where, like, I've had a foreign question where it's just like, all right, here's the answer.
All right.
And so it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy really the aspect of trying to help make the game as clean as possible. And so as an Infernal, I strive to try to make the best rulings possible for the game,
right,
and for the clarity of the game. And it really actually helps out because I'm an Infernal to really judge events because I know basically everything for what the intent is on a lot of stuff. So it's really interesting working with Dev, the development from Privateer Press, to try to figure out what to do for things. So like the Pillar of Salt errata that just came out. Like as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay. The reason it got changed is because I had requested them to fix Pillar of Salt because it was broken as crap.
And, no, guys, it's fine. It's fine.
And yeah, no, it's a bad, like the like if you think about Pillar of Salt before the errata, there are so many rulings and so much like just stuff tied to it. Of like, how does Pillar of Salt work? Well, you have to like think about it as, is it a model? Is it like, you have to intuit a lot of actions that it revolved around. And it's like, no, let's get rid of all that. I don't want a bunch of rulings like saying, how does this model work? I just want it to be natural. So it's like, let's go back to the drawing board and fix it. Well, they did. And I didn't get to see the ruling before it came out. I'm like, oh. So what ended up happening is I just collated a lot of the community feedback.
Right.
And so a lot of there's a couple forum goers that literally took all the questions that people had, made them all together. And then I looked through those and said, here's our new ruling that's coming forward. Like, we're probably going to rewrite, not full rewrite, but tweak it a little bit, right, to make a new wording, and then make sure that all of these questions that were asked by everyone are answered by this new one, so that there's no more like having to sit there and go, what did Travis say 2 years ago about Pillars of Salt?
Right. Yeah.
Because that's the hardest thing about the rules for the game is we're not just dealing with the current edition for, I think it's 2 years now. Might be, no, I think it's a year and a half or 2 years. I think it's 2 years.
Yeah, three.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
It's been a long
time. I got the look
time.
Of sympathy from everyone around.
But it's, how long have we been playing this game?
Yeah, and it's those rules, plus it's all of the Mark II rulings, because a lot of those transferred into Mark III because the wordings didn't change on things. And so it's like, I've got 10 years of things to look back to, wow, for precedent. So like coming up with a ruling isn't just like I have a ruling. It's you have to like investigate and research what we said and why we said it.
So what's that process? So when you get one of those like stumping questions where you're like, okay, we're gonna have to put your question on hold and think about it. Like, what's that process like?
So really it's I end up doing a bunch of research to try to figure out like what the rules say. And then what do I think? So I do a little bit of what do I think the intent of it is. And then I ask Dev, well, here's what your rule says. Here's what I think it should be trying to do. Is this what it should be trying to do? So we're on the same page of like, because if you think about like how the rules are written, an example, I'm going to draw a blank on the exact example of it. I remembered. Malady Man, where it came out. So like when Jason comes out with a concept of a model, he's like, I want this model to do this. And they talk about it in a very human speak, like us sitting around the table here. They'd have a collaboration, discuss what the model's going to do, and then they'd write the rules for it. And so it's like, I have a countercharging monkey that has acrobatics. Like in your head, you're just like, okay, I have a countercharging monkey that has acrobatics,
which is awesome.
And it makes sense. And you're like, okay, I get what you're trying to do. I want to charge through things, and I want to do different things. Well, then you start writing the rules, and you don't necessarily see like the unintended consequences or
the interactions
that might come with it. Because you're like, in your head, like, I want this monkey to counter charge, and it has acrobatics. It's like, oh, it should be able to charge through everything and charge with this counter, or when it does counter charge, it might do acrobatics. Well, our wording for counter charge and our wording for acrobatics are very specific, so that you don't have that ability to say, well, it doesn't trigger to do some of these rules, because it just doesn't. Our system just is very specific and very defined on what goes on. So it's like their intent might have been for that to work. The rules sure don't allow it. And so when you have that, it, like, you have to spend some time going, what really did you intend? Why did this come up? And sometimes it's like, that's just conversation they had. There's no real written, like, possibly written stuff. This is why we did what we did. Like, why would there be that from 10 years ago? Where would you drag that up from? It just doesn't exist. So it's like we have to come through and say, okay, this is what it was. Has this been a thing that's a problem? Is it a problem? Is it something that is more academic than actual? Like, there are some questions that are like, that's a 1% or a 1% of 1% problem, where it just doesn't matter to the game, versus something that's like, this is going to come up every time someone plays this thing. We need to fix this. We need to figure this
now.
And so we'll fix, like, we try to fix those things as best we can. We'd like to try not to do errata, even though, like, it's hard on the player base, because you have to know infernal rulings at that point. I think we're trying to step away from that a little bit, because that used to be the procedure we do. We'd want to errata the game as little as possible.
Right.
But now with CID and the living, more living rule set, we errata more. So it's, we're still balancing it, trying to get that feedback back from dev, and then go and say, well, we're doing this, and then provide a ruling on it. So, like, when we had Direct Spirits rulings come out, that was really like during a circle, or the first Scorn, the big Scorn redo,
right?
Or not redo, but rewrite of a lot of the Scorn features. We had discussions of, like, this is what Direct Spirits should do. And based off of text communication, because you know how when we say something, it's really easy to read a lot of
facial
location. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You infer a lot of stuff. And in text, you lose a lot of that kind of communication.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, the intent of, like, what some questions were. So, like, I know I had made rulings on Direct Spirits, and we had to, like, change them, because it was, like, just understandings of the development process. So, like, at one point it was this, and then a couple days later, like, oh, no, this is really what we want it to be, and I had to change the ruling. And so it sometimes it's kind of complicated where, like, rulings evolve. Like, there's no real, like, hard set of, like, this is what it's going to be forever. This is a game that's going to evolve. It's going to change as development wants it to be the best it can. And so that's all I really strive to do, is try to help make it the best it can be.
That it's funny to hear this side of it, you know, because a lot of times when you're in events, we're traveling all over, and everyone's, can I say shitty? Well, yeah, I just did.
You just did.
Yeah, so, they have these very shitty way of looking at everything in a cube. Like, how long did Privateer Press actually practice
play test.
Yeah. So it's like, guys, you got to understand, it's in a vacuum.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't really see, they don't even see what it does until it's out of that vacuum. And then they modify accordingly.
One of the big things you got to consider this is that when you're a designer of the game, you play the game typically the way you intend for the rules to actually work.
And 6 to 12 months ahead of time.
Yes.
Like, they're in the future. And, like, the future, this may not work the same way as it works today.
Right.
And so, like that's a problem that I believe Hungerford calls dev brain.
Yes.
Where it's like, I have 12 rules of something in my head. I don't trust anything I see on the table. I don't trust my memory. So, like, when you and I played a game,
right,
I'm like, I had to look at your card because I don't know what the hell the card says. Like, it could say whatever it wants. I don't know. I need to read the card. People ask me this when I'm playing games against them a lot. I'm like, I don't know what the hell your rules do. Like, it's literally not possible for me to know what your rules do. I will ask you about everything on your card, or I will be looking it up in War Room because I do not know.
Playing Ellswick, he's the same way. He says, all right, look, there's too many things that I talk about. Like, for the love of God, just tell me what it does. Yeah. I'm not going to remember everything I say.
I'll be able to figure out what rulings around it,
right?
But I need to know what it says to know what the rulings are around it. So it's a lot of fun, but it's hard as either a developer or an Infernal playing the game. It's super hard to be like, what are the rules today? I don't know. Just what it is.
Let me open the book and just tell you.
Yeah.
Tell me this, Travis. Has there been any discussion? I know at one time Privateer Press was looking at reformatting the judge process as becoming a then it just kind of fizzled out and no words have been mentioned.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, I think that's in a weird spot right now.
Yeah.
There's not really an active judge program, but I'm not like, that's me personally. This is not me as right, a representative course. in any sense. Like, I know I run a lot of events, and there are a lot of judges that still run their events. So we've got the Sue, we got Norbert out in the UK, Europe doing a whole bunch of stuff. And I believe there's still the judges that were in Australia still doing a lot of stuff like where they are. So it's like the judges are still active. So like Trevor's still running stuff. Chuck still, I think, runs stuff. Or does he plays?
No.
He just plays?
No.
You run stuff.
Run stuff.
Yeah. AKA Fish.
There's there's a lot of the judges that were running stuff and they still do run stuff.
Absolutely.
But I don't think there's like an official like judge-ish program anymore, because at the big conventions, if it's a private press convention, I'm running it.
Right.
And then we have staff running the event, so there's no real like judge in that respect. So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be revived in any way, shape, or form. I've got that question a lot from a bunch of different things, but it's. I don't know where they're going with that.
Makes sense. I mean, you know, as an ex-press ganger, you know, the Revenant crew, as we call ourselves.
Yep. We are still alive. We're still kicking.
Absolutely.
We're in your community. Come talk to us.
Yeah, yes. Still doing demos because, you know, it's all about love and passion for the game. But it is curious because, like, in America, like, there's not a whole lot of active judges.
No.
Yeah, so I was curious.
Yeah, and it's... Even with the active judges and like the active press gangers, that's the thing that actually gets me a lot is the people. So when the press gang went away,
right.
It sucked. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It sucked ass.
Absolutely.
For that. But it's really the people who cared about the game. You two, Damon and Isaiah. I'm going to say your name wrong every time I say it.
That's fine. It is a long butchering road. You know, I'll take the hit.
I will always wreck your name. The people who care about the game. Terrence, you run a bunch of shit too. The people who care about the game that were press gangers are still caring about the game.
Absolutely.
It's really the people that didn't that are gone, which is good for our communities.
I agree.
But it sucks because it's like you lost that backing, that official backing you had. Which even I feel because I was a press ganger too. So it sucks a bit, but it's like the people who are running the events are still running the events. And so if you feel really strongly about your game, run the store, be at the store every week, play the game, interact with your community, run demos. Like, that stuff's all still stuff that we do.
Absolutely.
And sure, it may be thankless, but you know what? You get to play your game and you get to have fun with it. And it's a lot of, like, it's just good. Playing about the game and talking about the game. We've had tons of conversations this weekend just with people, random people walking by with what's going on and here's what's going on.
What do these do?
Yeah, it's so much fun.
You know, one of the things I've experienced since I moved to Memphis is you got to have a community that has someone to play the game with.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's the community's responsibility to build their network so you have people to play with.
Yep, and it's also at that point, like, the store's responsibility too to help facilitate that.
Absolutely.
And so, like, I don't know, there's a lot of store owners that don't necessarily have that understanding that they're also part of that relationship. So they have to step up too. And it's really integral to talk with your store about what's going on. Hi, Will Hungerford.
Hello.
Welcome back, Will.
The Will is back in the house.
How's it going?
It's going good.
I'm going to go set up the narrative event.
Have fun.
Good morning, everyone. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hungerford came in, and the bees left.
Hungerford has left the building.
All right, T, there's a...
Yep. So let's get into some real important stuff, right? Let's get deep dive into what we really came here to talk about. Monster Apocalypse.
Absolutely. Game's freaking amazing.
So, I understand that last night that you took Damon out to the whipping shed and beat him until he could not take it anymore.
Whoa.
Whoa. Man. Whoa. Hold on. I didn't hear about this. No, it was, was this recorded? Like, whoa.
No, we had a really fun game.
Ladies and gentlemen, fun game.
I got to play Gregadro and Rogzor against Sky Sentinel and Defender X. And Damon immediately used Mount Terra twice, and I said no. No more of that.
I wish you guys could have seen the look on Travis' face. He's like, okay, that has to go.
Yeah. He used it immediately the first two turns of this thing. I'm like, nope, no more of that.
Travis' like, I will lay down the law. How dare you come in my house?
And then, so I went forward and shot that off the table. Yeah. And then Damon looked at me and went, and I had to scramble a little bit. And then Gorgadra had some fun throwing Sky Sentinel Defender X around, and I came out victorious. But it was a learning experience, and it was a fantastic game that we learned a lot about.
Oh, yeah, it was most definitely not fun. it was like being kicked as a wet puppy. But, you know, Travis did with a smile on his face. I don't know if that's good or bad. But, no, really, it was there was a rule clarification that I was playing wrong. Travis taught me that. It was a good, fun game with a lot of destruction.
And I think that's the honestly, we'll just take this away from Monster Apocalypse a little bit. Like, anytime you go into a game, if you learn something, that game has been successful. It didn't matter if you won or lost.
Absolutely.
Like, I can have the most fun losing a game because I learned a lot and I got better as a player, as a competitor at that point. That's way more important to me than winning the game.
I agree.
Like, winning the game means nothing. Like, cool, you won a game, whatever.
Yeah. The point of the game is to have fun.
Absolutely.
And as long as you remember that, no matter what game you play, win or lose, you enjoyed yourself, you had fun, your opponent had a great competitive match.
Absolutely.
Keep going.
So, I wouldn't say competitive last night, but it was fun.
I got two games in where I didn't, like, you at least did better than Chris Green did.
Well, okay, I
kicked the shit out of him.
Travis holds no bar.
Can't say shit on
not,
him.
Not.
Yeah. No, it's,
blood has been shed.
But it's like, I've played the game a lot now. I've played like 15, 20 games. It's like I've hopefully got a little of an idea of how to play the game. That was the second time playing that monster pair. It's a fun monster pair.
Oh, it's destructive.
Rogzor is amazing, and I'm shocked at how good he is.
You know, and honestly, if we want good tech, we probably should get Agatha. She'll probably like, guys, this is how we destroy the world in this order properly.
Came through and won the first Adepticon Crush Hour and just... four opponents and just rock them. And so, like, she doesn't have the Isle of Annihilation map. She had to play it on, like, twice. And she's just like, I'm going to throw everything in the volcano. And everything went in the volcano.
Like a boss.
And actually, she actually came over during our game and gave me some great pointers on how to use a couple of units and buildings that I never even thought about. Yeah, she's kind of phenomenal.
Yeah.
So,
especially that paint job.
Yeah. Oh, God. Her paint job.
Especially that paint job.
Ooh, I haven't seen it. Ooh,
so. Yeah. Check the armies on parade today. Her army's going to be out there. It's gorgeous.
Okay.
So, with that being said, for us new people getting into Monster Pop, so, can you give us, like, one or two to three pairings on the planet either side and probably two or three pairings that they may want to start off trying on the defender side?
Sure. So, the pairings that I end up, that I've enjoyed, so I enjoy Gorgadra. Gorgadra is probably my jam.
Yeah.
Because he just hits so hard.
He's ridiculous.
That he's got so many tools that he's very good. And super damage on hyper is just god awful fun. I'll normally pair him with Thugrosh, because Thugrosh does a great job screening. Mm-hmm. And you can use Thugrosh to either clear a screen or to really adapt the system around. So I'll play Lords of Cthulhu and Planet Eaters. Gorgadra and Rogzor is a pretty amazing pair.
I agree.
I like that pair a lot. And then the one that I haven't tried but I want to is Yashith Thugrosh and just go pure Lords of Cthulhu and have a couple power pods,
yeah,
and then rest Cthulhu units. That one might be interesting. Yashith was my jam in Mark 1, or the first edition of Monster Apocalypse, okay. So I really want to try him out and see how he plays in the new one.
Okay.
I haven't yet played a game with him. I have to paint him up first, which will probably be on my stream sometime this next week.
Oh, yeah. What's your guys' stream?
So Eggy and I stream normally Tuesdays and Sundays, late at night. Normally it's like 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. At twitch.tv/NekuraIzou, which is NekuraIzou, which I say really fast because I'm so used to saying it forever. But I'm sure if you want to attach a link with the
We'll definitely have a link attached to our Facebook group. So come out, check them out. I watch them all the time.
And so, Yashith, that's the one I'm interested in is trying out, is Yashith, because I love him. I want to see him play, so I want to see if Yashith works with Thugrash, and if Yashith works with Torghadra, I think that would be ridiculous as well.
That could be scary.
So I want to try those out. On the Protector side, I enjoy Sky Sentinel Defender X, which Damon played. That one's an interesting, like the Air Gun Fleet is really good, because that's a force that you can really easily do damage with your units into a monster without that many units. So it's like, you can easily ping that damage in once in a while, and you just can win the game by attrition with it.
Until, you know, you lose 3 Sun Fighters to 1 Explodal. Oh, no,
5 Strike Fighters to Explodal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good turn. That was a really, really good turn.
Guys, Damon's skill in this game is slowly dropping.
Everything about Damon is slowly dropping. He took my confidence.
Zormaxim and Terracon.
Awesome.
With the teleporting of the pterosaurs into Terracon's threat range is really good. Obviously, Terracon and Armadax is a pretty fun pairing, but I also think like Armadax and Defender X would be a great pairing, because Defender X with the beatback gets to do some crazy stuff, and Armadax is just like, whatever. Yeah. I'm just gonna be in the middle of the table crushing everything, because Armadax is ridiculous. I haven't got to play a game with Kraken Octopus or Kraken Octus yet. I really am interested in seeing what he can do. And he's been pre-released here at Adepticon, so we're going to see him in the wild with a lot of different list pairings coming up. So
Hammerclack looks kind of good as well.
Hammerclack with Gorgadra could be amazing.
Oh, yeah, give me Gorgadra high mobility. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Because, like, the high mobility on stuff that doesn't usually have high mobility is just freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, that's part of the problem with the Planet Eaters is they don't have high mobility. And so all of a sudden you're like, Gorgadra runs through that building. Okay. That wasn't terrifying. Expecting. Yeah, that wasn't expected. So.
And then once again, what I like about that pairing as well is you have to concentrate on Hammerclap.
Yeah. Because he's the threat.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. It's like the thing I like about the game is there's really no real dead pairings.
Yeah.
There might be some that you're just like, these aren't super exciting.
Right.
But they're like Zoraidon, Zormaxim. I haven't played it to really know what's super exciting for those two. And maybe they're missing a unit still or something that makes them really shine. But eventually someone's going to figure it out. Right. And we're going to see a really cool list with them come out and do stuff. So it's really just exploring the game right now. We're still less than a year. This game's less than a year old. There's still a ton of room to explore. There's still a ton of things to like figure out. The new buildings coming out, Statue of Liberty and Imperial State Building are going to change just how things work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A building that teleports is changing spots.
It's so weird. You have to kill that thing so fast.
Right. It's going to be hilarious.
All right. Sounds like we're going to have a lot of fun stuff coming out from Monster Apocalypse.
Absolutely.
This is great. So, I know it's starting to get a little late. I know you need to start getting ready for your Absolutely. Events coming up soon. Travis, we want to thank you for being on the air with us, you know, going through our usual fun, crazy comedies.
Absolutely.
Thank you for kicking the crap out of Damon last night. I appreciate that.
Oh, we greatly appreciate it.
Oh, how I hate you. Oh, no, there's one story that I got to say why Travis is sitting here. So, Travis is about to make his hat. And Hungerford,
which part of this
is observing this and giving Travis all the shit that Travis can take. And if you don't know why Travis is always so angry, this man takes more shit than anyone I ever met in my life. So
Yeah.
Jarvis has a handful of dice. I'm saying about 12 dice in a perfect timing as he goes to roll them into a tray. Hungerford pulls the tray from underneath him, and dice rolls across the table.
Yeah. I'm just rolling on my game ran. Whoop, tray disappears. Oh. And Hungerford bolts across the
table. Once again, Travis, thanks for joining us, man. Thanks for the game last night.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Minority Report. We'll catch you guys next time. See you on the final table.
See ya.
Bye.
This has been an episode of the Minority Report. Until next time, see you at the final table.